At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shedd. I write for Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, managing editor for the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe. You never miss a new episode, and we can spread the word to the masses. 1,100 subscribers. Pretty good. I think it's 1130 entering today's episode. So it did not move a single subscriber since I started saying, let's get to 1,200. Nah. But you should subscribe if you are new and just checking out the podcast for the first time. Adam, thank you for joining me on your Roman Reigns schedule for your second show this week. And it's good because we had a hell of a start to the NFL season last night.
Yeah. I think if Isaiah Likely was wearing white cleats, it would have been a different story or a different ending to last night's story. I really want to see that 2-point conversion. But we were robbed, kind of like maybe the referees robbed the Ravens a couple times in that game, but they made their own mistakes too. I don't want to sit here and blame the refs, but it was fun. Good start to the season. There's another game tonight. The Eagles taking on the Green Bay Packers in Brazil. And I don't know. They're like going in an underground tunnel to go from their hotel to the stadium because they don't want to go. They don't want to leave. So we'll see how that goes. But I totally forgot there's a game another game tonight until just now. So I'm actually kind of excited, even though it is the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, there is a game, assuming both teams don't get shot on their way to the stadium. Doesn't seem worth it to me, but the NFL probably does because you're getting a big ass check to game there.
I saw, I think someone, it was a post by somebody online or whatever, that the NFL might want to do an international game every week. And I was like, who wants? I don't think anybody wants that. Like,
no.
The NFL does, but.
Other sport does international games.
Can't wait for Vikings versus Giants in Saudi Arabia. It's gonna be great.
100-degree heat. Everybody's sweating through their uniform. It's gonna be great. Like, I understand what they want to grow the game and everything. And I was wrong, actually. NBA has international games. MLB has had international games the last couple of years. They've had a couple games in, I think, London. I don't think they've played anywhere else. They're having a game at Bristol Motor Speedway.
I saw
that. Actually. Yeah, that's pretty weird. But okay, I guess that's they gotta dry eyeballs somehow.
Well, the Padres and Dodgers started in Korea this year. So
yeah. So I guess I will backtrack a little bit on that statement. And the NHL also had games in Sweden because they brought the exciting Minnesota Wild over there last season too.
Well, and they're in Canada every year, so that technically is
technically. But like, hockey's like Canada's sport.
Yeah, they're not going to go. They're not going to do. They're not going to play hockey in Mexico. Maybe they will one day, but I don't think
players would be hyped about that.
Oh yeah,
the Wild. Particularly, they jump on a boat and have a team bonding thing. Hey, they're all hungover. This is weird.
Hockey players?
Nah, they don't party. Today's episode, we're going to make some predictions about the 2024 NFL season. But first, Let's take a look at Sunday's game in technically it's New Jersey, but they're taking on the New York Giants. Got to scroll down my outline here because we made the executive decision to switch things around. But the Vikings now favored by 1.5 points. Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma are in the booth. Kill me. But imitating Kenny Albert is Phil Matthews' bit from Score Horse.
Kenny Albert.
I don't want to do that because that's his bit, but I'll imitate Jonathan. Hey, yeah. Hi, Kenny. Yeah, the turf monster. Wow, this is exciting. I did no prep for this game. This is super fun. Go did Saints. You know I had a injury scheme back when I was a player, but nobody talks about it?
Suspended for a year.
Yeah, suspended for a full year. He was folding socks when he found out about it, too. I'll always remember that. He's like,
who folds their socks?
Yeah, I know. I just ball him up. Megan Olivi is also the sideline reporter if you wanted to know that information, but it's a noon kickoff. Kirk Cousins is gone, so maybe the Vikings are screwed. What do you think is the biggest matchup in Sunday's game against the Giants?
I don't think Justin Jefferson is going to have any trouble against the Vikings or against the Giants defense. So I'm curious to see how the Vikings defense does against Malik Nabers. But at the same time, someone has to throw to Malik Nabers, and I'm not very confident in Daniel Jones being able to do that. One, because he's Daniel Jones, and two, because I think the Vikings pass rush is going to be really good this year starting on Sunday. And I think they're going to pressure him a lot, which he doesn't like. So I'm just curious to see how everything goes with that. I'm curious to see how the Vikings offensive line holds up against the Giants pass rushers, because they have a couple pretty good ones in Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. So there's a bunch of good matchups. And then, you know, the one that everyone should be watching is every Vikings player against the turf at MetLife Stadium. So looking forward to that.
They can't really make a graphic for that, can they? You know how, like, in wrestling, they have, like, the graphics for, like, two dudes? It's, like, you know, the Vikings on one side, and it's just, like, a piece of grass on the other side.
It's the moving graphic, too, so it's the grass is, like, waving.
It's blowing in grass, the wind. Yeah.
Knee will explode this Sunday?
They are putting natural grass down in 2026, but it's for the World Cup.
Yeah, and they're taking it back out.
Screw you, football players. This is for the World Cup.
Football. As somebody who has attended 3 soccer doubleheaders this week, 3 high school soccer doubleheaders this week. Football is life, as they say.
It's a global sport.
It is. It is. Ole, ole, ole. My biggest concern on Sunday is the offensive line against this pass rush for the Giants. They added Brian Burns over the offseason. Yep. He is not your traditional, you know, lineup at left guard. Jared Allen against your left tackle. Let's see who's better. He is a versatile defender, which means they can attack him in multiple ways. So while the Vikings do have Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill, they also have an offensive line that still represents turnstiles. You also have Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that offensive line. Friday morning. Defensive line for the Giants. He's going to be going up against the Vikings middle of the offensive line, and that is not a good matchup, as we saw in that playoff wildcard game a couple years ago. So Blake Brandel, Ed Ingram, and Garrett Bradbury are really going to have to hold their water here, because Sam Darnold also doesn't like being pressured. And if he doesn't have time to throw in a pass first offense, that's a recipe for disaster as well.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what Kevin O'Connell has in store, like what he has planned for Sam Darnold, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, of course, just because he's had more time to prepare for this game and prepare for Sam Darnold and his offense, as opposed to last year when, you know, Josh Dobbs was just thrown in there. Nick Mullins was thrown in there. Jaren Hall was thrown in there. So, like, I think having more time to prepare will benefit Darnold and Kevin O'Connell. So it'll be interesting. I've seen a lot of Giants fans online being like, oh, I think we can win this game. Last time the Vikings played the Giants, Daniel Jones went off. And I'm like, last time the Vikings played the Giants, Ed Donatello was a defensive coordinator, not Brian Flores. So it's totally different.
Danny Dimes, yeah, he throwing that Viking defense. You know, we got Vanilla Vic, yeah. You want cannoli? What the fuck's a cannoli? I don't even know. Yeah, Joey Cracky Dog. Oh! Yankees going to end their championship drought this week, yeah!
Is Tommy DeVito still on the roster?
Tommy DeVito is still there. You know, if I didn't know he was a quarterback, I would say he's in the D'Angelo family in NXT, right? Or something. But I think his agent is, though. Sean Stiletto or whatever his name is.
He's the manager.
But
actually the Vikings, it's whenever they go to New York against the Giants or the Jets, they do pretty well. I think they're like 5-2 in their last seven, not including the playoffs, because we don't need to talk about 2000. And their last loss was 2013 in the infamous Josh Freeman game.
Oh.
On Monday night. Yeah. But yeah, typically when they go to New York, they actually fare pretty well. So I think it'll go well for the Vikings on Sunday. I know we gave our predictions on Monday, and I think I'm going to stick to it. I think it's going to be close, but I think the Vikings will pull out.
So let's move on to the next one. The Vikings will beat the Giants if ...
They hang on to the football. I mean, the beginning of it's easier said than done. But last year, they lost most of their first few games by one score, mostly because they could not hang on to the football, whether it was interceptions or fumbles. Turnovers were a big problem for the Vikings because they were giving away the ball more than they were taking it away. So I think it seems simple, but sometimes that's all it takes in the NFL. It's a game of inches, as we saw last night. So I think if they are able to take care of the football, things will go as well as they probably could.
Let's not have the need for like torture devices from Amazon to hang on to the football. Like, I don't think Amazon sells me. You know how they like send you, do you have the Amazon app on your phone? Mm-hmm. You know how they like send you like things for you? Like, hey, maybe you should buy this, or maybe you're smart enough not to have notifications on. I got one before the show. It's like 2 gallons of glue. I'm like, why would I need 2 gallons of glue?
For what was the teacher's name in Billy Madison?
I don't know.
It was Miss Kitty or something, who was like eating the glue and painting it on her face when he
apparently I need to huff some glue before the show and come up with some extra special tips.
Must be a good indication of how your weekend's gonna go.
Apparently. My Vikings will beat the Giants if Aaron Jones establishes the run and gets explosive plays on the ground. Now, a couple years ago, the Vikings had Dalvin Cook. He had plenty of explosive plays, but he didn't really get a consistent churning effort. The Vikings offense was one-dimensional last year. I don't think people realized it. I don't think it was obvious, but they couldn't run the football. Alexander Mattison was a disaster as the starting running back. Ty Chandler wasn't much better outside of one game in Cincinnati, which Vikings fans are clinging on to as they come into this season. But without TJ Hockenson, they need something to take attention away from Justin Jefferson, because Johnny Munt ain't going to do it no matter how much Kevin O'Connell loves him. You know, Jordan Addison and Jalen Naylor are coming in gimpy with bad ankles, and there's not really another threat on this offense. So it's going to come down to Aaron Jones and possibly Ty Chandler to get that running game going and have both just humming, to get some pressure off of Sam Darnold. Because I think the more things Darnold has around him to go right, I think the better he's going to play.
Yeah, I think the Vikings it's been noticeable by people who cover the team that they've been switching more, it seems like, from a zone blocking running scheme to a more power running scheme, which is similar to what the Rams did last year. So it's not a surprise that Kevin O'Connell's following one of his mentors, Sean McVay, and going that way. And it seemed to work out a little bit better in the preseason, but also that's the preseason. So we got to see how it goes in the regular season. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, running the football, it's a tradition with the Vikings to have a good running game. So it's kind of weird that the last 2 years they haven't really had one. Vikings fans would, you know, like to get back to that, maybe running the football and playing good defense. So see if we can do that on Sunday.
Will we see more angry runs this year? Will we get Kyle Brandt singing our praises on Good Morning
Football? Who would do that? CJ Ham?
CJ Ham could give me some angry runs.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones isn't really like a physical run through a MF-ered space.
Yeah, he could stiff arm some people. He's got potential. Who's third? Oh, they don't have it. Well, I guess Miles Gaskin is, but he's on the practice squad.
Yeah, who is our third string? Is it?
He'll be activated though. Probably
they'll figure it out. I'm sure they have a.
They can. The they Packers, can have two running backs.
Have you seen the Packers depth chart and running back?
No, it's like no.
AJ Josh Dillon's Jacobs hurt. And a UDFA.
Yeah, because AJ Dillon is that his name? AJ Dillon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he out for the season?
Yeah.
Or is he on the Oh, geez.
Neck injury. And then Marshawn Lloyd has a hamstring injury. So it's just Josh Jacobs over there.
Well, good thing the Packers never get hurt, so it's okay.
They never get hurt, and they always have the refs on their side, as we all know. Hey, what is one bold prediction for Sunday's game?
I think we're going to have a scoop and score by the Vikings defense on Sunday. Daniel Jones is going to be scrambling around. Somebody's going to get a sack fumble. Vikings defender will pick it up and run it in for an easy score. Maybe Dallas Turner or so. Or maybe we'll get a fat guy touchdown and get like Harrison Phillips or something like that.
You know, there were a couple of others that I could have used. I stuck on the running game, but I'll give you two. I'll give you a little. My bold prediction article is going to be up on Saturday. I'm going to write that this afternoon. And I'm kind of brainstorming as we're talking here. But I'll give you this with the running game, sticking on that theme. Aaron Jones will have a rushing touchdown and a 20-yard run in Sunday's game. And that might not seem bold to some people, but the Giants allowed the fourth most rushing yards to opponents per game last season. And Alexander Mattison had one 20-yard run and no rushing touchdowns last year. I did not look at Ty Chandler as far as 20-yard runs, but Jones has it in the tank. And if he's going to have his best game of the year, I think it's week one when the body is fresh, when there's no nagging injuries, knock on wood, and the offensive line, like you said, like maybe that power scheme is a better fit and they're going to create more opportunities in the running game. And the other thing is too, Alexander Mattison dropped 6 passes last year. So I think the screen game with Kevin O'Connell Loves is going to be a lot better this year.
What's that?
Yeah, it's where you kind of throw a short little pass to the running back and he gets 10 or 15. I use it all the time in college football 25. The Tulane Green Wave is number 5 in the nation. They got a 4-0 record.
Wow.
Had a come from behind victory against Army yesterday. We're hyped. We're hosting Arkansas at home this week. So
do they play in the Superdome?
They do not. They used to. They built a new stadium. It's called Yulman Stadium or something like that.
Outdoor?
Yeah, it's an outdoor one. It's actually looks pretty cool on the game. So, and
they have
and those Tulane, you know, you've seen their uniforms, yeah, right?
Do they have the Northwestern?
They do not.
Temporary stadium?
They do not. They have old Ryan Field, which somehow looks worse.
Yeah, I think Aaron Jones is going to be a... At least until TJ Hockenson gets back, I think he's going to be a big part of the Vikings pass game. And then, you know, Jordan Addison said yesterday that he's going to play on Sunday, whether he's healthy or not. He said he's full go. So expect him to be out there, which will be good. Even if he's not 100%, it'll take some of the attention off of Justin Jefferson, hopefully. But either way, if the Giants put 4 people on Justin Jefferson, he'll still be able to catch.
All right. So since I teased I had 2, do you have another bold prediction for Sunday coming off the top of the dome? You can say no, too, if you want.
No, I don't.
You know what? I got bold. One for you.
I think the Vikings are going to win. So Sam Darnold will get a win in MetLife Stadium, something that didn't happen very frequently during the first part of his career.
Dallas Turner is going to get 2 sacks.
Ooh.
Not 1, but 2 sacks. In my season predictions, I said Dallas Turner was going to break the Vikings rookie record for sacks held by Keith Millard, who had 11.5 in 1987, I believe. Maybe I have the year wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think Turner is going to have an immediate impact on this defense. And I think he's a lot like Brian Burns, where he's a player that you can move around the formation. You can attack him at different stages. And remember, one of the big priorities for the New York Giants watching Hard Knocks was we have to upgrade the offensive line. Like that and Saquon Barkley leaving were the 2 biggest storylines. And usually when you plug holes in free agency, it doesn't always work. So I think Dallas Turner is going to be used like a nuclear weapon. And I think he's going to get to Daniel Jones a couple of times on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the Vikings are going to get to Daniel Jones a lot on Sunday. And it'll be interesting too, because I think Brian Daboll's calling the plays on Sunday for the Giants. He's calling them for their offense this year. So it'll be interesting to see if what they do differently. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. If anything is different, he just tries to get the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands quicker or something like that. But yeah, I think Dallas Turner is going to have a really good season. Looking forward to seeing him more on a full-time basis. I think they'll probably kind of ease him in to start the year with Jonathan Greenard and Van Ginkle getting most of the reps, and Dallas Turner will probably get more situational role. The big question is, where the refs call as many illegal formation penalties on Sunday on the both offensive lines as they did last night against, you know, the Ravens, who apparently were, their tackle was in the backfield, but not really. So that was, there's always every year, like the first game, there's always like a weird penalty that the refs try and like enforce.
What about Steve Spagnuolo calling a timeout and having it granted, which I understand, maybe they thought Andy Reid was screaming it, but.
Well, I'll just say this.
There was no repercussions like, no. Oh, LOL, my bad.
I'll say this. I'm going to have no comment because fan side is owned by Chiefs fans. And I like to not ruffle any feathers when it comes to my employment. So.
Somebody's knocking at the door right now. I think I don't think it's Pizza Ranch this time.
But no, like
it's like when you say 2-minute warning in college football and ESPN shows up. You can't say that.
It's week one for everybody. So it was, you know, that was weird. I don't believe. I mean, when you're the Chiefs and you've won the last two Super Bowls and three in the last 4 or 5 years. You're going to get calls. That's what happened. And whether people like it or not, it happened with the Patriots, happens with a lot of good teams. That's how it goes. That's what happened. And the Ravens get them too, because they're a very good team too. But yeah, I don't necessarily think the refs were like out to get the Ravens or anything, because they almost came back and won. So,
right.
But they made a lot of mistakes on their own. Like, how many times are you going to throw a screen pass to Zay Flowers? Looked like Oregon's offense out there.
Lamar Jackson, every pass play, he just decided to run. That dude is going to, you know, CFB reference. That dude is going to be all red by like week five. His wearing, like, the offensive line got their ass kicked last night for Baltimore.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah. Well, that Chiefs defense is good. It's weird to be like Patrick Mahomes is, because I know the previews are like, oh, the Chiefs had a down year last year or whatever. I'm like, a down year, they won the Super Bowl. Like,
right.
I'd love for the Vikings to have a down year and win the Super Bowl. So, like, yeah. But that Xavier Worthy looks good, so I think that he'll be good for that offense if he can stay healthy. But, yeah, I think the defense is good for the Chiefs, and it was a big reason why they won the Super Bowl last year, and I think it's going to be a big reason why they'll be in contention again this year, and Patrick Mahomes.
So you said you think the Vikings are going to win on Sunday.
21-18, I'm sticking to it.
Is that your score?
Yep.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring slog. I think it's going to be very defensive oriented. We had that one game, Kevin O'Connell's first game. They jumped out against the Packers early 21-0, but I don't think they scored too much afterwards. I think it's going to be, to quote Chris Boyd, a tight butthole game. And I think it's going to be 16-10 Vikings.
Ooh.
Your tribal chief, Will Reichard, hits three field goals. Yeah, hey, Will Reichard has less misses than Justin Tucker does this season, so acknowledge him.
Yeah, number one kicker in the NFL. Weather should not be a problem. I know everyone's very curious about that, but looks like sun 70 and clear skies on Sunday, so weather should not be a factor in one of the Vikings' few outdoor games they play. Did you know the Lions are playing 14 indoor games this year?
I have that. You kind of just spoiled something I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
We got to it later, but yes, I do know that. It's bonkers.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, that's a heck of a, you don't have to go to Brazil or you don't have to do any of that stuff.
Probably what, Packers, Bears, and like one of the AFC South teams, Colts or Titans or Jaguars. The
Colts got inside stadium. So
yeah, Jaguars or Titans probably.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Those lucky Lions. We'll have more on that later.
Yes, we will. So we got the Vikings stuff out of the way. Let's talk about the season predictions, not just the Vikings, but from an NFL scope. Final season prediction. What will be the Vikings' final record at the end of 2024?
I have them going 10-7. Let me double check. But yes, I believe I have them going 10-7 and finishing. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I have the Vikings finishing 10-7. A lot of people have them winning 4 or 5 or 6 games. I just think there's too much talent on this team to do that. They won 7 games with 4 quarterbacks last year. Justin Jefferson is back. They have a much better running back in Aaron Jones. The defense should be better because there's more players that fit Brian Flores' scheme, and he was able to help them jump from 28th to 13th last year with just kind of table scraps. Not that Daniil Hunter is table scraps. He's very good. But yeah, I think the Vikings are going to be competitive and in the hunt for a playoff spot this year with a 10-7 record. And everyone's like, well, if they're not going to do anything in the playoffs, they should just tank and get a good draft pick. Actually, if your team's good and then you put a rookie quarterback in there in the following year, it's probably better for the rookie quarterback to come to a team that's, you know, above average rather than one that sucks and he has to try and carry the team. So 10-7 for the Vikings.
It's about stacking good things together. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Kwesi said during his press conference a couple of weeks ago, referencing the 33-0 game against the Colts in 2022. You know, how did you come back? Well, it was stacking good things. It was stacking good drives, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then you get to that bigger goal. I think if the Vikings go 10-7, they make the playoffs. That's a good thing. I had the Vikings going 10-7 according to my bowl predictions at the Viking Age, but I looked and part of it was let's get bold. Let's think outside the box. Like I had them starting 4-0 thinking about it because I think there's a path to it. As a matter of fact, I think they start 3-0 because I look at the Giants game. I think that's winnable. The next week's against the 49ers, which looks tough, but they have some very bad vibes going on right now.
Trent Williams isn't even back yet.
Yeah, I know. They got everybody signed, but like the last time the Niners went to the Super Bowl, they went 6-10 the following year. Yep. And they had a ton of injuries. George Kittle, I think, only played half the season. Debo Samuel only played half the season. A lot of the guys on that team aren't exactly the picture of health. You know, Christian McCaffrey, I took him early in a fantasy draft. I hate it. Why? Because I think he's a ticking time bomb at 28 years old. That's why I'm a little skittish about Aaron Jones, even though I just sang his praises for week one because it'll be the freshest he'll be all year.
Madden curse too.
Yeah, I feel a lot of bad vibes with the 49ers, and they have to come here to Minneapolis. I know they haven't won since 1992. I don't think that's a big deal, but I think the Vikings can win that game, and then you go, or no, you don't go anywhere. You host the Texans again, another game at home. I like the Vikings at home, even though they still struggled. So, I mean, that's a path to 3-0. Are the Packers good? Is Jordan Love still Jesus Christ like everybody thinks he is right now? I heard a prediction yesterday listening to the Audible that Jordan Love's going to throw 5 touchdowns tonight. Like, the hype train for Jordan Love is unreal at the end of last season. And I'm not unsold that he's not, I'm butchering the line here, but I'm not sold that he's not Nick Foles, like a quarterback that got scorching hot at the end of a season and then turned out to be, well, he's not that great. So maybe that's wishful thinking or whatever. I have them going 8-9, long story short. I think they split with all 3 NFC North opponents. I think the Jaguars, Titans, and Bears games, all road games in a row, kind of tank them. They have a Kirk Cousins revenge game that's currently scheduled at noon. That's not great. You know, the best thing the NFL could do is like move that to prime time. If it gets moved to 7 o'clock, I might think about picking the Vikings there.
I don't think they can. I think they can move it to the afternoon. That's the
That 3:15 window. Mm-hmm. And again, that Seattle game on December 22nd, that's a tough draw going out there. So I have them going 8-9. It won't feel as bad as that sounds. I think they'll be in the hunt the entire year, but you'll feel good about it if they are a competitive team throughout the year with Sam Darnold of all people. And then next year you switch to JJ McCarthy and that era begins. So 8-9. I have the Vikings going 8-9.
Sure. It's not bold. It's more realistic. And
correct.
Yeah. And if that happens, I think that's fine too. But I think the pressure will definitely be on KOC and Kwesi next year if they miss the playoffs again.
Do you think so, though? Like, if they're 8-9 and they're competitive the entire year, do you think the Wolves will have them on the hot seat for that last year, or do they re-up them?
I think they'll give them an extension, but we've seen in the past it doesn't matter because Mike Zimmer and Spielman got extensions like right before they got fired. I don't know. I think the Vikings owners can say all they want about, you know, they're okay though, they can have patience or whatever, but they've never shown during like their history as owners of being patient. They want this team in the playoffs every year, so anything below that, I feel like it's going to create some tension next year, and but they're not going to get fired. unless they go, they win, I don't know, two games. Even then, I don't know.
Have to go really off the.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You have to get dysfunctional, like Zimmer, Spielman-esque, and I don't see that happening. There's been no signs of, like, KOC and Kwesi seem like they, like, have sleepovers every weekend or whatever during the
off-season. Light on the field.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm sure they have disagreements, but they're more cordial than, you know, leaving the building because somebody drafted someone they didn't like. So, yeah, I could see 8-9 as well. I think their floor is 7 wins, and I think their ceiling, you could argue, 11.
I would be shocked if this team won like 5 games. Like six, maybe I wouldn't be as shocked, like depending on what happens. But
I think they're over under 6.5.
Yeah. So, I mean, anything less than 6 would be surprising. Anything more than 10 would be surprising.
And they haven't won fewer than 7 games since like 2013, I want to say, when Leslie Frazier's last year and Peterson got hurt. So it's been a while.
I know tanking's not great, but Travis Hunter on this team would be fun.
But he's not going to play corner.
Is that what they say?
Why would he play corner? You see how much money receivers are making? Why would he play corner?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Why would he do that?
Yeah.
And corner is way harder to adjust to.
What if he's Shohei Ohtani? Like, he's just a all-pro receiver and corner.
He's going to get his ass. He's not that big. Like, he's pretty frail. Like, he gets hit by, you know, Dexter Lawrence. His bones are going to shatter. And he's going to be like, can you play corner? And he's like, I can't even move my arm.
Red wear and tear from the college football 25 system.
Because even some of the guys who've been the best two-way players in college football, like Charles Woodson and Champ Bailey, they tried to do some of that in the NFL, but they were like, this is way harder. So I think it would be – it's fun to think about, but I think it would be difficult for Travis Hunter to do that.
Very true. And also, Ohtani, to your credit, Ohtani, dude can hit. Dude can definitely hit. Can't pitch,
though. Is he pitching?
He's still rehabbing from Tommy John. So that's incredible that he's like doing what he's doing and like, oh yeah, he's still injured technically. Like what? Yeah,
well, boo Dodgers because Padres are coming for them.
Yes. NFC North predictions. How will the NFC North turn out this year?
All right. So I shared these the other day on the VikingAge.com. Go check it out if you want. I have, unfortunately, the Packers in the number one spot at 12-5, winning the division. Their schedule's pretty simple. But most of all, I like that they have a new defensive coordinator because last year, Joe Barry, I don't know if you remember, but Packers fans despised him. I think there was a good clip of who's that dude on
Aaron Nagler?
Yeah, fuck this defense. So they got rid of him and they hired Jeff Halfley, former Boston College head coach. They convinced him to stop being a head coach and come be the defensive coordinator for the Packers. I think that's going to work out well for them. I think the defense is going to be one of the best in the league. 12-5 for the Packers, 10-7 for the Vikings in second place. And I think they'll make the playoffs. Then in third place, I ruffled some feathers on Threads, I believe. I didn't know that there was this many people of this fan base on Threads, but I found out. I have the Lions going 9-8 and missing the playoffs. Everyone is so high on the Lions. The expectations, like last season, they went in the last season. Expectations were like, this team's going to be better and they'll probably make the playoffs. But no one thought I believe very few people probably thought they were going to make it all the way to the NFC Championship. This year, people are picking them to win the Super Bowl. And they're going to have a target on their back. They're going to have a first-place schedule. Their guys are probably going to be hurting a little more because they played longer last year. They added guys on defense, but I still don't trust it because Aaron Glenn's still the defensive coordinator, and they've been pretty bad. Like, I think 23rd in points allowed is the best they've been under him, or it's been worse. So I don't feel any more confidence with him running the show back there. And it's the Lions. So I just, until they do it again, I'm not going to hop on that bandwagon. And it also feels like the Vikings. Whenever the Vikings would have a surprise season, 98, 2009, 2017, they would enter the following year with huge expectations. Oh, this team, they're going to go to Super Bowl because they're going to be just like they were a year ago, and everything's going to be the same and they'll be fine. And what happened? No, 99, they made the playoffs, but they were not the team they were in 98. 2010, they missed the playoffs. They were terrible. In 2018, they missed the playoffs too, and they souped up and got Kirk Cousins and Sheldon Richardson, and it didn't matter. So I just think expectations are very high for the Lions this year. And I think, you know, they'll still be competitive and good, but I think they're just going to fall short of those lofty expectations. And then fourth, not terrible, but still, you know, they're improving. I have the Bears going 8-9. I think Caleb Williams is going to be good, but he's still a rookie and he's still going to make rookie mistakes. And there's a reason why Seahawks fans were excited that Shane Waldron is no longer their offensive coordinator. And now he's running the show, running the offense for the Bears. So I'm not sure how well that will go. But yeah, the Bears finishing fourth at 8-9. That's how I have it going.
Okay. I agree with some of it. The one thing I disagree with, I think the Lions repeat NFC North champions. It's not because I love Dan Campbell, even though like those Applebee's commercials, that dude, that is a perfect sponsorship, by the way. Because like I could see that dude like causing a disturbance at an Applebee's.
Either that or like Bush Light.
Yeah, but or Starbucks. Like, you know, just Starbucks commercial. He pulls up in like a monster truck holding like Venti's and like Metallica is just there for. I don't think that's like the target audience for Starbucks, but
who
like,
cares?
Yeah, that who cares? It would be great. It might get a more business. More football people will start drinking coffee. The biggest thing that has me swayed in the Lions. I love their offense. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. David Montgomery is a good back. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know we shit on J-Mo Williams, but we'll see what happens there. Their offensive line's very good, and Jared Goff is very capable. Two things as well. Ben Johnson is back as the offensive coordinator, and the Lions play 13 of their first 14 games indoors, which is where this team thrives. They will have to score points in order to win games, but they can do it. Now, where I agree with you is the Lions seemed awfully healthy last year outside of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They didn't really have a long-term injury. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown missed a couple of games, but it wound up being
one,
okay.
But he played.
Yeah, he missed one. Yeah, I mean, he was banged up. He's a tough son of a gun. Do they have the same health again? We saw that with 2017 Vikings go to the NFC Championship game with like no injuries, and that never happens again. So do they suffer more injuries in Detroit this year? And does that knock them down? I could see that happening. But as it stands right now, without the ability to predict injuries, I think the Lions win this division. Second team, I think it'll be the Packers. I don't think Jordan Love tails off and becomes Nick Foles. I think they win about 10 games. I think they're a solid team, kind of like they were last year. But I don't see like another level. Like maybe their defense gets a little bit better and that bumps them to like 11 or 12 wins. But I think they're a good team. I think they got enough there. It's all going to depend on Jordan Love. If Jordan Love is the quarterback that we saw at the end of last season, they're going to be a good team. If he's not, A, it'll be hilarious. And B, like that they're going to underachieve. So it's all in the short as Jordan Love. I got a high school game to cover tonight, so I'm a little bummed that I'm going to miss the majority of the game. But I'm very curious to see how Jordan Love plays against the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday night. Third spot, third and fourth, I feel are interchangeable because I think the Vikings and Bears will both finish with an 8-9 record. I like what the Bears are doing overall as far as building their roster. They're doing the old school Madden approach that everybody knows and loves. Caleb Williams, I'm sold on him. I know people don't like him because he paints his nails and he's got like a Prince vibe. I mean, we
see
love
what Belichick
Prince.
Said.
What did he say?
Just see what Belichick. He said he wasn't that impressed with Caleb Williams because he went 10 for 20 in the preseason.
10. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see. That's another quarterback I'm interested to see this weekend is how does Caleb Williams look? Roma Dunze. I like the addition to him. I like what they did with their receiving core, getting Keenan Allen and adding them to DJ Moore, who I think is underrated because he was catching passes from Justin Fields. Their defense, a little questionable, but I mean, I'm curious to see how the Bears thing turns out this year. And then, like I said, the Vikings, you know, maybe I'll say they go third just to be more of a homer, but I mean, 8-9, I think this is a tough division. I think you're going to see a lot of teams beat each other up. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions got the number one seed in the NFC. Hint, hint, wink, wink, where we're going with this. But I also wouldn't be surprised if the Lions won the division with like 9 or 10 wins. So it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be fun to watch. And I think it's the best division in the conference right now.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is.
Hands down.
It's definitely not the South. that's why Kirk Cousins is down there. Can win the division. They could probably win the division 8-9.
Kirk's going to be at home in Atlanta, man. It's like you get
if he's healthy.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, you know, those noon starts, you not Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay will be tough, I think. You get Carolina twice in that noon window. You get the Saints. They don't look too great. Like, it'll feel just like home for old Kirk.
I think I just saw someone predict the Saints win the South next season, and I was like, how? Who do they have? Is it just because everyone else is just going to suck even more?
Rashid Shaheed, everybody!
Yeah, I know they have Chris Olave, but like, Derek Carr,
Juwan Johnson.
And I just saw what's his face? Cam Jordan said, like, "Oh, if we get in the playoffs, I think we win the Super Bowl." Of course you do. And what else are you supposed to say? Hey, can he retire?
It's like when they talk about like Kevin O'Connell, like they had their team fight to the end. Well, yeah, no shit. Like if they go 2-12 and like tank for a quarterback, he's gonna get fired.
He's been in the league for like 15 years. Can he retire already? Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, but he gets to play Kirk. That's probably why he came back. He's like, I get to play against Kirk Cousins twice. Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins has beaten him most of the time. So
yeah.
All righty.
All right. Well, we kind of went through all that stuff. What's your Super Bowl prediction?
All right. I want to have fun with this because it's important to just be like Chiefs and Lions. But never mind. I didn't really even mean to call you out if that was your. That was your well, okay. I'm going to go with the Bills and the AFC.
Oh.
I think it's going to be a more balanced team. I think they have the same offensive coordinator that they had at the end of last year when things started to go better. I think Josh Allen's not going to feel as much pressure to throw to a certain wide receiver who used to be in Buffalo, who's now in Houston. And I think their defense is going to just be good because Sean McDermott usually has a good defense. So I got the Bills getting over the hump in the Super Bowl, taking on, unfortunately, as a Vikings fan, this pains me, taking on the Packers. I just think the NFC is very wide open this year. I think the Niners could take a step back. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be dangerous. I don't think the Eagles are. I think they have too much going on behind the scenes. And I think the Packers are just going to emerge from the NFC and make the Super Bowl. But I'm not going to give a...
Who wins?
Fuck it. Let's go with Bills.
All right. I was about to say, Jordan Love gets the Super Bowl. He ascends to the heavens. And Vikings fans get very, very drunk. Did I ever tell you the story about what happened last time Packers won the Super Bowl?
No.
Maybe I haven't said it on this podcast. So I was a 300-pound super senior at the University of Wisconsin River Falls in 2010. I lived with a group of friends in a house, and we went to what was deemed an anti-Packer party. So I had my Percy Harvin jersey
in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, it's right across the border from Minnesota. It's like Hudson's like technically Minnesota. Like it's Wisconsin, but like it feels like Minnesota because it's not that far from the Twin Cities, and like Viking games are shown on TV. And yeah. So we had this party. We go for halftime, and like at halftime, all of a sudden, my friend's girlfriend was like, "We're all leaving. Everybody in the car." She was like the resident mom of our like group. And we're like, okay. So we got home. We were sitting home, And like, I'm like, okay, well, why did we leave? And I didn't know what was going on. I still don't. It's whatever. So I get a text from a friend who says, me and so-and-so are down at the bar. Do you want to come join us?
For half? I think I have read the story before.
Have I told this on the podcast though?
I think so. Okay. Or no, you might have told me.
Okay.
Keep going.
So they're like, hey, we're down at the Main Streeter. Come down to the Main Streeter. Watch the second half with us if you're not. And I'm like, sweet. So I go and I like start running. And again, this is 300 pound Chris. So like, plus it's like very cold, but I don't feel it because I've had a few beers that day. Right. And I realize I am still wearing the shit I still had on at the anti-Packer party, going to a bar in Wisconsin to watch a game where the Packers are in the Super Bowl. I got in there and got some dirty looks. I think the Steelers scored and I cheered like an idiot. But when the Packers won the game, one of the people in the bar decided to go to the bar, grab a bottle of vodka from behind the bar and a match. And they came at me and tried to throw the vodka on me and light me on fire. So our friend's boyfriend at the time, who was a 7 foot tall basketball player, picked this dude up and slammed him against the wall as me and my other friend got out of it. And apparently the guy screamed at him. He's like, how much is he paying you? And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he's my friend. Like, why are you threatening to light him on fire? And like the people around me, I was totally nice to him. I'm like, hey, good game. Maybe someday we'll figure it out. So we get in the car. And all I can say is, I can't believe they tried to light me on fire. I get home and it's an even worse atmosphere. There is broken glass everywhere. There is just anger. And I'm just like, dude, it's just a game. Like, it sucks, but whatever. And my friend goes, just a game. He went back to that November when the Packers stomped the Vikings. And that was the game that got Brad Childress fired.
Yep.
I wanted Brad Childress to get fired. I also had Greg Jennings on my fantasy team and he had three touchdowns and I was playing against him. So he screams at me, why don't you have sex with Greg Jennings? And I'm like, okay. And, you know, stuff's getting thrown everywhere. Like somebody called it World War III. And I'm like, I'm moving out. And I went and I grabbed all my clothes from the closet and I was going to move out that night. It was a disaster. So hopefully I don't live through that. I mean, I live by myself now, so I don't think I'm going to like get any fights. And I'm also in South Dakota where there's not a lot of Packers.
Go. Yeah.
That is football in Wisconsin for you. I do not have the Packers in the Super Bowl, though. I have, yeah, I know you already shared it, but I guess this is a boring pick, but Kansas City, this is a Ric Flair thing for me. Like, to be the man, you gotta beat the man, right? And unfortunately the Chiefs are the man. I'm not gonna pick against them. I know it's cliche. I know it's boring. Baltimore, to me, did not look good last night, even if they weren't playing the Chiefs, because Baltimore's offense is just weird. Like, they have good players, and then they don't use them. It was like, we signed Derrick Henry. All right, it's Justin Hill season. Mark Andrews, let's go. No, Isaiah Likely. It's a pass play. I'm just going to run and take a big-ass hit because I'm Lamar Jackson.
If you're not a starter, then you know you're going to get a lot of targets,
right? Like, it's the weird, like, I do not miss that part about fantasy owning Ravens guys. You know, I mean, Buffalo, they lost a lot. You're relying on Shakir. James, I can't, Cook. James Coleman. Cook, and what's the name of the Shakir? Keon Coleman. I like him though. Like, not just from, I think he's a good player.
He's hilarious.
He's very hilarious. I'm not sold on the Texans either. Like, I mean, if I'm going to pick a team to beat the Chiefs, I don't think I'm going to pick a team like the Texans. So I think the Chiefs get there, and I think the Lions get there too. Like I said, those indoor games, if they can get the one seed where they're playing even more indoor games in January, I think that paves the way for them to go to the Super Bowl. But I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes. I know they would be like the ultimate sweetheart game where you got Taylor Swift in the suite. You got Dan Campbell on the sideline. America is torn. They don't know who to cheer for. I think Kansas City beats Detroit in the Super Bowl. Lions fans have another chapter. I mean, I just don't think there's another team in the NFC that could be just as good. Like, you picking the Falcons with Kirk Cousins? They'll get bounced in the first round. No. They'll be a third and long, and he'll check down to Jonnu Smith. I don't even know if he's still there, but
yeah, that's kind of why I picked the Packers, because like they were the hot team at the end of last season. I guess the Lions were too. And I just feel like the NFC, like I could see a team like the Rams coming out of the NFC this year, like just randomly, like they had an off year last year. Cooper Kupp's back healthy this year. You know, Matt Stafford's healthy. Sean McVay's still a very good coach. Like I could see something like that happen. I think the Seahawks are going to be better. You know, I could see the given all of this dysfunction, the Eagles could still be pretty good, because I think Jalen Hurts was, you know, no pun intended, but he was hurt a lot last year. But it'll be interesting to see how they do without Jason Kelce. Yeah, in the South, you know, no one's talking about the Bucks, but I think they won the division last year and almost beat the Lions in the playoffs. So like, yeah, and the Bears could, like, they have talent to make a run. So like we really just don't know. Like, this is a season where it's like, yes, we think the Lions should come out because they made the NFC Championship and they're younger and newer. I wouldn't know who to put my money on at this point. Of the season.
You put it on the Chiefs, basically. But
yeah,
they got such bad odds. Like, it doesn't make sense.
You're losing money if you're putting money on. But yeah, the Chiefs, they got the Swifties. It's hard to go against all that.
It's not about fan side. You just don't want like 20,000 Taylor Swift fans in your DMs. Just
that,
like,
too. I did see I think it was a Reddit thread where I think it was from the Taylor Swift Reddit, and it was like, Swifties are starting to sound like, you know, middle-aged dads with all their comments on football, because they were leaving comments like, oh, finally John Harbaugh's, you know, learning how to manage the clock and stuff, and like, and talking about Andy Reid using timeouts and stuff, and then like, yeah, that's cool. But yeah, where's the Super Bowl this year? Is it Arizona?
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans.
Dan Campbell gonna get some beignets. Mm.
I mean, that would be, you know, storybook, because I want to say he started his coaching career in New Orleans.
He was a player there too, wasn't he?
No, he started his coaching career. Yeah, he was. He started his coaching career in Miami, I think, actually.
Yep.
But he was with Sean Payton for a bunch of years in New Orleans, which is why perhaps they're a little dirtier on the defensive side of the ball, because, you know, that's what he learned from Sean Payton. And Aaron Glenn was in New Orleans too, so that would be an interesting storyline. We haven't talked really about the Jets. Do we think the Jets are going to be good this year?
No.
Is it just because, like, they're the Jets, or?
Yeah, or I think it's because they're the Jets and
they have a terrible offensive coordinator. Aaron Rodgers
will be fine. It's funny when you look, they're a lot like the Falcons of the AFC, mm-hmm. aren't they? Because, like, you got a quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. He's old. Like, you know, we're already seeing things. I mean, Kirk at least showed up to minicamp, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers is on his ayahuasca fueled tour of Egypt or whatever.
Well, he went to involuntary OTA, so that counted just the same.
I went to something. I just switched it around because I knew I wouldn't be available.
Yeah, because he didn't know when minicamp was, you know, 5 months ago. He couldn't. And you're not a millionaire, so you can't reschedule your trip to not be during minicamp. But, you know, I guess it's, you know, the sun was at a certain angle or whatever during those few days, so he could only go.
It's like Ultimate Warrior.
He went to Egypt,
planets of the,
right?
Grimlap system have aligned.
He went to Egypt, right?
Yeah, Egypt.
In the AFC, I feel like a surprise team. I could see the Chargers coming out of there being like a surprise team with Jim Harbaugh. The dude knows how to win.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can win without Connor Stallions this year, but he did really well with the Niners. And I think, you know, as much as people think Justin Herbert's stats or whatever are going to suffer because Harbaugh likes to run the ball, I think having Jim Harbaugh as his coach is going to be great for Herbert. So maybe the Chargers will come out. Probably not, because they're the Chargers. They're the Vikings of the AFC. But
I'm trying to think of any other AFC teams.
Bo Nix.
Yeah, the Broncos, right? Somebody compared him to like 39-year-old Drew Brees the other day, and I laughed because I was just like,
almost as old.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just, what about the Bengals? Are the Bengals gonna
they're selling TVs to try and pay for Jamar Chase's contract?
Which, like, why just sign him? Just sign
him. The poll ads look like freaking free spenders.
He wants,
like,
one penny more than Justin Jefferson. That's it.
Give him the penny. It's all you need to do. Yeah. But
like, what are your other options?
I don't know. I took Joe Burrow in a guillotine league, and I'm not feeling great about it. So then T. Higgins is hurt too.
Yeah,
he might be hurt, but, you know,
I think like the AFC is, there's a lot more contenders. It's going to be, somebody's going to be left out that's a good team probably, because you got the Bills, Jets, Dolphins, the whole AFC North. You know, you got the Texans, Jaguars, Colts, Titans, I guess. And then, you know, Chiefs and Chargers. So like, I think AFC is going to be really good this year. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a good season. Like this, there's the kickoff thing is a little weird, but we'll get used to it.
It's like the conservative thing now. All right, I don't know what liberal or liberal is, democratic, conservative. That's like the rallying cry for true Americans. I need my kickoff back.
I need concussions.
I need concussions. I need players running down the field drooling. They don't know where they at. And
still doing college, so you know, yeah. You would think they would adopt that kickoff first. But
hey, Governor Walz, what do you think of the new kickoff rule? He's a football guy.
Yeah.
He is.
No, he wasn't the head coach, though. He was only the defensive coordinator.
Who knows?
Don't lie.
Let's just have, like, screw politics. Let's just have him get up there and talk football. Just, like, right? Get the chalkboard up there, just Manning Cast style. Taylor Swift's going to get her own Manning Cast pretty soon, the way things are going.
Yeah.
No, and again, I'm going to backtrack. The Swifties are at my door. Shit. I just feel bad for her because it's like there is a camera on her at all times. And like moment Travi makes a play, it's like switch, get her on her, right around, right. And she's like,
well, it's like the Tebow thing when he was in the league. It's like the Cowboys, like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
they're gonna be the focus because that's what people come. That's what produces ratings. Like if that's a thing still anymore.
Taylor's sitting there on like ESPN cooking up blitzes. Just like,
yeah. I wonder if other leagues are like trying to think of like, who can we get? Like the NBA is like,
Well, and it's also, this is going to sound really weird, but it's like how they have the Nickelodeon cast for kids, like get people hooked. And like you said, Taylor is there. People are watching it because they want to see her. And then they like wind up learning about like clock management and cover two and like all this stuff. Like,
and to be fair, I think they show her like a total, usually it's like 30 seconds.
Correct. Yes.
And people just freak out because just because.
Yes.
So she didn't go to the Vikings game.
Like I said, I just feel bad for her because it's like, I'm just here at the game.
Yeah. And, well, she didn't go to US Bank Stadium last year and she could have. She skipped that.
That was a spite. Yep. Next time when she comes here, she should just be booed relentless. Like treat her like Eagles fans.
Yeah, I don't think that's
good. No, probably not. Now that we got the Swiftie conversation out of the way, what's going on at the Viking Age?
Well, there's a game on Sunday.
There's a game! Football! Yeah!
Back. 10 o'clock kickoff for me. I'm excited to get that back in action.
That's what I loved about being on the West Coast a couple weeks ago.
Ended at 8:30 last night.
Yeah, 4 o'clock... 4 o'clock baseball starting. I was just like, oh, there's a game on. I can watch.
Oh, yeah. College football starts at 9.
Yes. If you're in that gif of me.
if you're in Hawaii, I think it starts at like 6 or 7 on NFL Sundays.
Tailgating would be
that's a little too early
over in Hawaii. Yeah, just
that's a little too early for me. I like the West Coast 10 o'clock time. But yeah, we'll preview. Like you said, you're gonna have your bold predictions for the game tomorrow. I think I'm gonna do just a game by game record prediction overall for the Vikings tomorrow as well. And then Sunday we'll be covering the game, see what happens, cover stuff in the game, and then we'll have stuff after the game for, you know, what people said, and then look ahead to week 2 against the Niners, home opener. That'll be fun. Whether they win or lose, I'm sure people will have a good time.
Offensive genius Kyle Shanahan coming to the
born in Minnesota.
Born in Minnesota. He's one of us. We should love him. Apparently,
he is not one of. He's not a. I don't even know how that happened because his dad wasn't. He didn't coach him. Did they have a game in Minnesota, and his wife just went to the hospital.
Probably could be.
So it's really weird. But yeah, go check out thevikingage.com. Lots of good stuff over there. And follow me, Adam Patrick NFL, on X and Threads.
I got the same thing going on. Follow me on social media at The Real Chris Shad, Instagram, Threads, and X. But that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.